Welcome to Highly Political, a podcast where two passionate ladies smoke weed, talk politics, laugh, and sometimes cry. With special guests from the world of comedy, cannabis, and politics.
We haven't worked on Capitol Hill, but that's okay. We're paying attention, and so should you.
We want you to be informed, like little democracy angels. So pack your bowl, grab some snacks, and let's get into it. And remember, when they go low, we get high. Today I'm smoking some delicious cannabis I found in my weed cabinet.
And I'm smoking Monster Cookies, indica-dominant hybrid, famous for being strong and well-balanced, with some sativa-like effects.
Love a balance. Unlike the imbalance of power in our criminal justice system.
White ladies going crazy in Central Park, lack of representation in the courts, and a negligent police department led to the death of George Floyd.
It's all a bit heavy, but we can't ignore what's so plain to see. All right, T, light it up.
I'm back on the flower this week, y'all.
I'm still on the flower.
Back to my roots.
Last time I smoked flower in a bowl was the last time we had the pod, and I missed it. These buds are crystally. They're a little dry because they've been in my house all of quarantine, but they good.
I just got this delivered last night. It's Monster Cookies. It's kind of disappointing sometimes when I buy flour and I open the jar and the flour is already kind of dry. I mean, I understand like harvest season and all that kind of stuff, but I just wish people would just maybe think more sometimes when it comes to certain packaging to preserve it, the freshness of the flour a little bit more.
Was it not in like a glass seal tight glass? Is it a joint? No,
it's like this glass jar. But I don't know if maybe it was just kind of dry when I already first took it out.
I don't mind dry bud because I used to put it in my PAX vape. PAX, you ever want to try to sponsor us? We out here.
Hands up. I really want to buy a new bong because I have this little pipe I've been using. And then I have my friends gave me one of those little like manual roll machines.
So I've been can't roll for shit, as you know, Tiana.
Yeah. That's why I got these little mini, that machine. And I can roll these little joints. So I like that. But then, you know, all the extra shit of like smoking the ash from the paper. And so I try to smoke less joints and blunts and things like that. But I don't have like a nice piece. And it's one of those things that I'm like, yo, I just need to fucking make the investment.
Yeah, Eric just bought a bong.
Oh, really?
And then a few days later, he was in our weed cabinet. And he saw my old bong, Dracaris. And I was like, oh, yeah, don't you love that? It's like my favorite. I never use it. It was a gift. And he said, I didn't know you had that. I wouldn't have bought this bong. Why didn't you tell me? And I was like, my bad.
Hey, babe. You didn't see it in our weed cabinet? I mean, the fact that you guys have a weed cabinet, like really making me interested in getting a significant other. Like, wait, is that part of it? Weed cabinets?
Weed cabinets.
I need that.
But my weed cabinet has a lot of accessories too, though. It's not just all weed.
That's fair. I have like a weed, well, it's more of like a CBD bag of CBD samples. Because most of my weed or THC samples go pretty quick.
The CBD lasts.
You know, when I get a weed or THC sample, I'm kind of already opening it as you're handing it to me, probably.
I still have our In Bloom.
I have a lot of In Bloom stuff.
That was over a year ago now.
We got a lot of good stuff from that.
Right? It was last April? Or no, when was it?
Yeah,
no,
I think it was last April. That was really fun. Broccoli Mag, when we can have things be around people again, can we do another In Bloom? Because that was so fun.
Can we be your featured podcast?
Oh my God, please.
Or one of them?
Yeah, because I know they have their own podcasts right now.
Theirs are kind of like heavy and more of a think discussion forum, but it would be good to have a little politics and giggles.
Balance it out.
I
went to Inside Lands. It's like a virtual festival, Inside Lands. I think if you guys follow us, we've been featured on it a couple of times. But last night, they were celebrating Asian Pacific Heritage Month. Kieran from Almost Consulting put together a list of like 15 Asians in cannabis to watch. So it was just really nice to like see like a platform, and it ended up being like 15 Asian American women the cannabis space. So they had just like a kind of open forum panel discussion. I feel like panel discussion is just like the more like political term for it, but it was just like an open discussion for them to be able to kind of talk about what's going on in their lives and their careers and just that space.
Did any brands pop out to you?
A lot, actually. One of the things that, like, the main reason I bring it up is because one of the women, I believe her name was Lauren, is she's a writer, a freelance writer. She also works over at Broccoli, and she's one of the she's half of their Broccoli Talk podcast. So it was really interesting to just
check that out.
Again, just hear different people's points of views, and so it's just always nice to be like in a space that feels like really safe. I feel like one of the positive things that have come out of sheltering in place is creating these virtual community spaces that for some reason I feel like have been feeling more free and safe than sometimes like physical communities. So it's just like, I don't know, it's just nice to be able to kind of talk about some of the hardships that they've faced in cannabis as women and Asian American women that I can relate to as a Black woman, and just the cannabis space in general. But if you guys ever want to check out Inside Lands, they normally have some really interesting guests and discussions and kind of ranges and topics.
Yeah.
We are on there. We like to do a get stoned and do two truths and a lie. And most of the time we're so stoned that we forget even what our lies were. So yeah. Tune in for that, y'all.
Guilty as charged. But it was a lot of twists and turns with that one.
I made fried Oreos on the last Inside Lands I was on. Or air fried Oreos. Pardon moi, air fried Oreos.
I got to get some stuff to make air fried Oreos. Because so you know simple. Me, I'm a sweet treats. I literally, there's a cake shop that's an open tab right now. And I'm going to figure out to get some stuff delivered to my house today.
Oh my God, I love it. They turned out really good. I'm not a sweet treats person really. But even I was like, damn, bitch, you did that. That was fucking delicious.
I saw the pictures and damn, bitch, you did that.
Last few days have been kind of somber for me.
I know that these things, just what's going on in the news right now, affects you on a harder emotional level just based on you being a woman of color versus me. Like, I'm upset about it, but I know I'm not feeling what you're feeling.
Right. I'm just like exhausted. And it's, you know, it's crazy because just a couple of weeks ago, right, we were talking about Ahmaud Arbery, and I was like breaking down, and that day, that's when I had finally like had a cry. And then it's like after Ahmaud Arbery, then it was Breonna Taylor. And if you guys aren't familiar, police went on a raid in her house. So wrong address. We just accidentally killed you. We're just in the wrong house completely. So I guess you get just sleep while Black in your home. You know, so it's like the back to back. And then also what's really emotionally triggering for me is like the onslaught of having to see brown and Black bodies being murdered. Right. And then on top of that, then having to listen to the debates and the discussions on whether they deserved it or not.
Right.
And all I see is myself. Like, I can't not see myself. I can't not see, like, my sister, my brother-in-law, my brother, you know, my nieces and nephew, my friends, my father, like, in these faces. For simple things. Like, today I was on the phone with my aunt. My aunt's, like, she's very aggressive about her opinions on trying to keep me safe during what's going on with coronavirus, right? I was walking to the store. I called her. She was just about to take a nap. And my aunt's like a white woman too. I just say that for context. So it's like not that she also is feeling as much as a strain emotionally maybe as I am, but in a different way because I'm her niece. She was telling me how she was about to take a nap because she was, you know, I woke up at like 2:30, been up since then, about to take a nap. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. She's like, well, what are you doing? I was like, oh, I'm walking to the store, taking the dog for a walk. She's like, all right, well, I'm gonna stay on the phone with you. And we started talking about certain things. And then one of the things she mentions is that one of the reasons when she's talking to me and I'm going out for a walk or something, and it may be like a time that she would normally say like, oh, actually, this isn't a good time for a call for me. Can I call you later? She'll purposely stay on the phone with me just because she just fears for me now just being out walking. And so when I was walking back to the store, I was in my neighborhood, and like a place I walk around all the time. And my neighborhood is like not like a small neighborhood. You know, there's always people out and about, but there's like definitely people you would like, I've seen them walking out and about before, especially a lot of people with dogs and stuff, just because we're out with our dogs and shit. But I saw an ID on the ground, and I was like, oh, shit. And I picked up the ID, and it was like this old white guy, and the address was like right there. And so I was like on the phone with my aunt and I was like, oh shit, I think it's like right here. Like, let me see which is the house. And then I was like, oh, I think it's this apartment complex. I was like, oh, I'll just look on the call box. I'll probably be able to find his last name and be able to call him. And so I'm like, boop, 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 like looking. And my aunt's like, well, you know, the first thing I thought, I was like, I know, don't worry. I'm going to wash my hands and sanitize after all this. She's like, no, like just be careful that you're at someone's door knocking or pushing all these buttons. Like someone's just going to see like this black girl trying to like get into this house or like do this. And then I was like pushing some buttons. And then eventually like, somebody walked up and he was like, hey, I can just get the door or something. And I was like, oh no, I'm not even trying to get in. I found this ID on the ground. And he's like, oh, is the first name Fred? I was like, oh yeah. He's like, oh, I know where he lives. Like, it's my building. I know he's always walking around. And I was like, yeah, I gave him the ID. And then it like really like sunk with me when I got home about the idea, like, yo, like literally like that is like as easy as it is. Like I was just doing something that's felt innately right to me, right? Like just innately common and normal. Like, of course, if I find an ID and the address is three houses down from mine, I'm going to fucking go and knock on the door and just say, hey, I don't know if you know, you like drop this. And, you know, I feel so unassuming in my skin and who I am most of the time if I'm not being conscious. But when I float into that ignorance bliss of like how people aren't portraying me and I just do what any human or good human would do, that I just have to stop and think like, is this worth it? Should I just put this down and like walk away? Because like, what if the guy who came up, who lived in the building, who saw me pushing the buttons, wasn't so nice to be like, oh, I could just let you in? Or like, there also something that kind of feel kind of like he was like, kind of, what are you doing to me? But that's something that I actually have to like think about and like fear. And I think like, to your point at the beginning of this conversation about like, that's the part that affects me, I think, differently than how it could affect you. You know what I mean? Because that's like a conscious thing that like some people may want to brush off and say that I'm being like dramatic or thinking too much into things or pulling the race card. But the reality is I don't have the luxury to pretend like that isn't something that's real. That I would be foolish and not, you know, conscious of my own safety to pretend that that's not something that could have become a hashtag.
Damn, yeah. I mean, I'm happy that you did it and it was a nice exchange and humanity was nice for that moment in time between two strangers. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, I guess we can just get into it because there have been a few cases of that, you know, just put that shining spotlight on America's racial problems. Yeah. And how they lead to innocent people being killed.
Yeah. So you want to start with old Amy Cooper, or is it Cooper?
Well, actually, Christian Cooper is the man.
Yes.
Amy Cooper is the Karen who called on him. That one's a good, you know, a varying degree. It's like a little bit less severe.
It also shows the trajectory of like what makes what she did so dangerous.
Yeah. So if you guys don't know, Christian Cooper, a bird watcher in Central Park. My friend brought that up. She said, I love that they like the news outlets keep saying he was a bird watcher to make him seem pacifist. Right.
Yeah.
And I was arguing, not arguing, but I was saying, I think it was pertinent information, but I guess we were talking about two sides of the same coin, because I was saying it was pertinent information in case those people who are just so quick to question the situation. So it does give it context.
Yeah.
It's
also like an interesting, like, I guess there's, like you said, there's two sides to that coin, right? Is it like, there's also like a salacious value of saying like he's a pacifist to like create more of a like, how could she even be so fearful?
Right. Well, no one's saying pacifist. They're just like kept.
Right.
Kept,
it's alluding to that, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah. He's a nice guy.
You know, he's a Harvard educated, you know, man, like I've been seeing a lot in that too. And it's like, but the other problem of that is, it like, well, what does any of that matter? Like, right. If he was like, I don't know, like he wasn't just a bird watcher, just some, like, it's just interesting the way that people try to make reason for what people deserve or don't deserve.
Right.
When the problem isn't even that he's a bird watcher or wasn't a bird watcher, is a non-threatening person.
Yeah. And in the video, it's really funny how he's the one who asked her not to get any closer to her.
Because he fucking knows. Because Christian Cooper lives in America. He fucking knows. Even as a Harvard educated, somewhat assuming docile man, he knows that just by living in his black male body, he's seen as a threat.
So for those of you just to review who don't know about this, as we were saying, Christian Cooper, he was bird watching in Central Park. Amy Cooper, this woman, had her dog off leash in this part of the Bramble. And
where it's leash, it's required to have your dog.
Leash is required. There's a sign. And it's because to protect the natural habitat of like certain bushes and bird habitats in that area. So, you know, I'm down. I would not have Narfi off leash in that area. Oh, because sometimes I miss signs. I don't see signs all, it's possible.
Sometimes everyone deliberately like there's a spot over here by like Runyon where you're not supposed to have dogs off leash, but like a lot of people with their dogs go there. And
also this fucking notion. Okay. First of all, Central Park is huge, but I still would never have my dog off leash in Central Park. Cause if there's fences and barriers and stone like walls on the street sides of it. And depending on if you're in the middle, I mean, it's like, if you can catch your dog, it's unlikely, but I would never ever in a million years want Narfi like accidentally off leash anywhere in New York City.
Yeah.
Cause it's right by Columbus Circle. I mean, it's right by these very
busy streets.
All four corners are very busy streets, like famous avenues or boulevards so first of all, and then these people in general who have their dogs off leash a lot of times, like in these areas, it's like, no, you don't have a special connection with your dog. Mm-hmm. If your dog sees a squirrel, the dog might run for that squirrel.
Yeah. And most of the time their dogs are the untrained dogs. Like, you see those crazy ass trained dogs, like the person's like blinks twice and the dog like circles and jumps and sits, like, okay, well, sure.
Brad Pitt action.
Like some people are much more invested in like what it means in the psyche of a dog or what, like really, like,
yeah.
I definitely do not treat Jacqueline the way like a real dog trainer would. They'd be like, bitch, that's not a baby, that's your dog. I'm like, that's my baby, she kill you, she's so good, I love her. So like, I'm not even trying to pretend like, but that I also want to have this bitch off leash, just like, oh, don't worry, right. That's she understands that when I say, hey Jacqueline, I prefer to get a little closer to me and sit just right here, because she understands. Like, no, she doesn't. She doesn't.
So then she had her dog off leash. And then Christian Cooper went up to her and said,
I don't even know if he did. He went up to her. I think he's like said.
Oh, just
her.
Said it from afar. Said it. Yeah, yeah. And right. That's like because the narrative that she drove. I'm thinking like he walked up to her. That's why she must have gone apeshit. But no, nothing. Said, bitch, get your leash on the dog. And then she just really freaked out.
She freaked out.
She said, she was like, why are you talking to me? And then she was walking closer to him and he was saying, ma'am,
please step back. Please don't get close to me.
And the way her voice changed, and it was very performative.
She also started saying to him, get away from me. I'm going to call the police and say an African-American man is threatening me.
So exactly. She knows.
She knows.
That's weaponizing race. That is weaponizing
privilege.
And privilege, but more so, I mean.
Yeah, but what comes with certain races comes a certain level of privilege. So she was like double downing on that. Like if she was a black woman or an Asian, maybe she was an Asian woman or maybe somebody else, maybe she wasn't just a black woman or a white woman. I just can't imagine she would have said, I'm going to say that an African American man is threatening me. You know what I mean? Because it's like, that's code word for come with the guns drawn. Right.
Get your MAGA kneecaps ready.
That's the part where I try to say, like, where I think people also say, like, it has to be more than not just being saying I'm not racist, or saying I have black friends, so I'm not racist, or I have black children, so I'm not racist. You have to be actively anti-racist. And what comes with that is identifying and being accountable for some of your own like societal driven into your mind, just notions and ideas. So like, again, right, you know, Christian Cooper is now saying that, yeah, I'm not excusing like the racist ass shit that she did, but like, I don't know if her life should be destroyed in the way that it has been.
I agree. I have a, she lost her job over it, which I don't think is like the answer. Like her being a national embarrassment and learning from this mistake.
But if you were her coworker, right? If you were her coworker and you saw how she knew by threatening him with the idea of calling the police and saying that an African-American man is threatening me, it could result in your death. If you are somebody, like, I don't know what she does at this financial company, but if you're somebody who had to, apply for something and she was the person who was deciding it, could you 100% feel confident that she didn't have, and even the, especially with the way that she tried to apologize without taking any real accountability, right? That it's like, how could you, you know, if you're her employer, how could you not feel that she wasn't making certain decisions based off of a subconscious prejudice she has? So like, I don't think, and also she's not the first person to go through this. So that's the part I don't get, why people keep doing these out of pocket crazy things, you know, when it's like, do you not know that the public jury is going to come for you in this way? Like, what makes you think you're so much more special than barbecue Karen? You know what I mean? Or like, right, or barbecue Becky and all that kind of stuff. So I think, yeah, I don't think it's fair that like everything be stripped from her, but her losing her job and losing her dog, I don't feel so bad for. I think like people like digging in so many aspects. But yeah,
did she give up the dog? She gave up the dog.
I don't know if she gave it up or was pressured to, but the dog rescue that she had gotten it from had said that the dog had been they had the dog back.
See, I was telling some friends, if I ever did that to Narfi, please citizens arrest me.
Mm-hmm. Love of but God. It's like, but that's the other thing that's wild is like people are so like, it just goes back and forth between like, I think we just live in such a more
right, but don't you think that like, for me, like it's kind of like, do the ends justify the, like, don't you think if she kept her, who knows? Because maybe like a coworker.
If she worked at Subway, I don't think maybe she should lose her job. But if she has a position of power to make a difference in people's lives, and she, part of her job gives her some of the privilege that she weaponized against Christian that day. You know what I mean? Like, so I don't know necessarily if I 100% agree that she should lose her job. I feel like I'm definitely leaning towards it because of all these things, but I definitely know I don't fucking feel bad about it.
Yeah, I don't feel bad about it. I get concerned about, even if it's one, because for me, I think coming from like an environmental standpoint, because I argue with this point a lot, like, because that's like my cause, right? Mm-hmm. Like, no, if we make small changes here, if we donate to here, like things will happen. So on that person to person level, right. Let's say no coworker came forward quite yet. I mean, your points are very valid.
Yeah.
No coworker came yet and they just decided to fire her just immediately. Right. Don't you think that like brews like some kind of hate or some kind of like, she's so angry, she just sets in her ways and kind of mutates into a worse person because it fucked with her?
And that's what I want somebody, what I want to employ somebody like that. Like if you snap like this on something like that, that shows so much more of your character to me. So I'm not saying she's undeserving to make a living and have a life and have a job and be happy moving on from this moment. But I think there's a lot of popular pressure from people when something goes viral to immediately fire them. But I also don't think that they just like went on Twitter and saw like, oh shit, everyone says we should fire Amy. Okay, Amy, bye, you're fired. Like they know Amy, you know what I mean? They had conversations like, and I'm sure a lot of it had to be like a PR stunt because like, how could they not look? But if you're moving in any type of like real morality and you're making a choice in something, any decision you make, like you have to be grounded in the why you made that. And so like, if I was them, I feel like I would have let her go too, because it says so much more about your character, you know, to do something like that says so much more about who you are and how you see yourself versus other people and the type of communities and company culture that I would like to build in my future companies. Yeah, that's not something I want. And I don't want to be connected to that either. And there's also sometimes where things are like, hey, I wish I don't have to let you go, but for the overall greater good of this vision,
you're just not
collateral damage, you know, and you brought it upon yourself by being a fool and being malicious.
Yeah, it is funny because her job was head of insurance investment solutions. Like, solution is in the title of her job.
Right.
She's not finding proper solutions on her day to day.
Yeah.
What she did is absolutely like deplorable, and I definitely agree, but we do need to paint like a full picture with the incident. Just like, unfortunately, everything needs context. Like, thing is too, he told her, okay, you're going to keep doing what I'm going to keep doing what I'm going to do. And if I was caught off guard, I'd be like, what is he going to do? He pulls out a dog treat for her dog.
Right.
And the dog runs to him. Like, you know, he's making a point. He's not, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And then steps towards her. He says, come here.
Right. And then when she gets on the phone with the police, it's just like in Get Out, she's like, oh, she's normal. But when she's on the police, all of a sudden she's like, there's someone attacking me. And so many people have been falsely accused of things, have gone to jail based off 911 calls alone, because there's no other factual evidence or video footage like this. So again, it's another manipulation of, you knew what you were doing. This wasn't an accident. You know what I mean? If you were that afraid, why weren't you screaming for help? Why weren't you running away? Why were you getting closer? I would leave. So like, I just think it's like, clearly you've done something like this before. That's why you are so brazen with your attitude. And why, when the shit storm that came to you came down, that's the other thing I don't get when these people do this. They're so confused by like the reaction. It's because you've gotten away with it time over time again. And now you're showing me how you really feel, because most of their apologies are not genuine at all. And it always goes into, but do you see what's been happening to me now?
Right.
I just can't feel bad for her. Like, again, And then there's also all these things coming out about like all these other posts she had in the past about injuries that have happened to her dog. Like, her dog had fallen into like the pond and it's got all these like different cuts. Like, she was a very excellent like dog owner to begin with.
Oh my God.
So Amy Cooper, bitch from Tiana Jones. Fucking give a shit about you.
Yo, I know Christian says, I don't care about her either.
Okay. I know you don't care about her. I know Christian's like, I don't think this should have happened to her. And I think that's like a, you know, very moral way to think about the situation. And I agree. I agree. It's like, I don't know if this is the way things should be, because the bigger conversation around that is the globalization of the way things go viral and the way that information is just passed without and not fact checked. So like, I think that's a bigger question about like, okay, how do we all become judge, jury, and executioner in a minute without fact checking anything? So yes, but I think with here, like the checks and balances here, it's like, if I was her employer, probably would have done the same thing.
Yeah. Well, Tiana, you know what? You've kind of convinced me. So I'm good. it's great that Christian Cooper, I mean, I hope you're cool with it, Tiana, but I want to nominate him Queen of the Week.
Queen of the Week. It's the Queen of the Week.
Oh my God, yes.
Because he went on The View next with our former Queen of the Week, Hwape. And he, for a couple things, obviously, you know, being a nice bird watcher guy, he's also like, He's pretty hot.
Like, girl, why were you so afraid? Okay, I'd be like, Christian, come closer.
Yeah. What was that? I'm so, can you come? I couldn't hear you.
Oh my God, just you. This leash is just like really hard to put on. Could you just like maybe help me with that real quick?
Ooh. Oh my God, my shirt's wet.
Where'd my bra go?
My dog got pond water all over my tits. Because it just fell in the pond.
So no interest in us whatsoever.
No, he is gay. He's not liking what we're putting down. So he also wrote for Marvel Comics, and he created Yoshi Mishima, the first gay male character for Star Trek. Amazing. And the first gay human in the comics universe.
That's amazing.
I know. And then he on The View said, I really kind of decided consciously I'm not going to participate in my own dehumanization. I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. And I hate that that's a thing you have to remind yourself of, but he just is like such a human being above bullshit and just knows about life. And is like, you know what? She has the demons.
Yeah.
And it's her. Like, she's the problem, obviously.
And as a gay black man, he ain't new to this shit. He's like, that would happen Tuesday. Let's see what happens Friday. You know what I mean? It's
like, wow, this just reminds me, I have to call my friend Adolphus for his birthday.
Oh.
Just remember. And I was like, I know somebody, a gay black man I know, has a birthday that I missed. I got to give him a call.
Well, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Adolphus.
I've met him before.
You have?
Have I?
No, you haven't. He moved to Minnesota.
I feel like I wouldn't remember a name like Adolphus.
Is he from Minnesota or Indiana? He moved with his partner. Or are they? No, they're not married. They're not. Because I would be at that. Yo, Adolphus, if I'm not at your wedding, I'm going to be pissed. I like weddings. I think they're a blast.
And maybe Eric's busy that weekend and you take me as your date instead?
Oh, it's going to be a lit wedding. Actually, it's not going to be lit because they're older now, but it's going to be like woohoo and comfy and full of wine until 3 a.m. and laughter and good conversation.
I'm here for that. Again, bring me, bitch.
I know, we literally have a podcast where we conversate. Not a real word, but I'm using it.
Let's do it. Yeah, so Christian Cooper, Queen of the Week.
Queen of the Week.
We love you. Which brings us to the next. Was it the same day or within the same 24 hours?
I'm actually not 100% sure on the
timeline. Maybe it was like the same day. I think I read that today. George Floyd. And so this is why what happened with Amy Cooper and Christian Cooper, no relation.
I believe it's George Floyd.
Thank you. George Floyd. Is so important, and because George Floyd was accused of using a counterfeit $20 bill,
and then that was wild when I found that out, because I kept reading articles, but now unfortunately it's shifted to all the protests and like that right now. But I couldn't figure out what he was arrested for. I know that you and I talked about it, a forgery. I'm like, forgery of what? That's so vague. What's going on? And then I just found out using a $20 to buy fucking groceries.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, maybe he knew he had a counterfeit 20, but there are also very likely odds that he did not know. A 20 is not as an easy, I feel like, distinguishable or looked for counterfeit bill as like a $100 bill is.
Right. And if you work in a job where you handle money, like T and I were both servers, bartenders, like the only thing you check are hundreds and fifties.
Yeah.
Cashier clerk, well, they're an expert in currency forgery.
Right. So just imagine and what also is so wild to me is when I was thinking about all of this, I was thinking about the last pod when we were talking about how like 0.2 or 0.0 something percent of like white guys who steal billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars of people actually get go to jail. And so this guy maybe purposely used a counterfeit $20 bill to buy some groceries, gets apprehended by the police, is handcuffed, and then is put onto the ground, has a knee put into his neck that starts a blood choke or cutting off the blood to his neck for over 9 minutes. As he repeats, I haven't watched the video because again,
I don't really want to watch.
I refuse to. I mean, the still photos I have to see when I know he's dead is enough. And I think all that shit should be censored. Again, but that's also part of the reason of public lynchings. It's not just to kill the one life that you've taken. It's to give notice to every other fucking brown and black body. Like, bitch, this could be you. But anyway, so for over 9 minutes, this officer applied pressure to his knee. And I also heard today from one of the lawyers who's on the case that I guess if you notice in the video, the officer has his hand in his pocket. And apparently that is a thing that is used to try to apply more force.
Oh my fucking God.
For over 9 minutes, maybe 9 minutes is the whole length of the video. So to be factual, maybe it's more like 7 minutes. But over 1 minute of having your knee on someone's neck seems like excessive to me. He's saying he can't breathe, my neck hurts.
Surprise, surprise, it wasn't protocol either.
Yeah, my stomach hurts. Please don't kill me. I think he said his children's name. One of the last things he said was his mother's name, which I read about today, is that right either the day this happened or around the same week that this happened was a 2-year anniversary of his mother's death. So his family's already like dealing with that, and then like that happens to their brother, and they have to watch his public execution over and over and over and over and over again. And then anyway, so yeah, and then the cops got fired, but apparently they're still getting paid. There's been no charges against them whatsoever.
Nope. And the Police Officers Federation of Minneapolis said, "Now is not the time to rush to judgment and immediately condemn our officers. Officers' actions and training protocol will be carefully examined after the officers have provided their statements." Like, no. What? Quick to rush to judge? There's a video. We all saw it.
And why do you? But it's like so fucking like hypocritical to say that. But you rush to judgment to put your fucking knee in this guy's neck over a counterfeit $20 bill, you know? And then people want to say, "Oh, we don't know what happened before the video started." But like, okay, but then
who cares?
How do you take somebody? I know his name, but I'm not going to fucking say his name. But the little piece of shit that walked into the church and killed all those black people. How do you take him peacefully and fucking take this fool's ass to Burger King and give him a meal? But you can't peacefully apprehend somebody over a $20 counterfeit bill, maybe. And then tell me it's not about race. It's not because fucking George Floyd. George Floyd was a tall, dark, black man. It just feels like trophy hunting to me at some point. You know, it's like, how do we have Eric Garner and we have George Floyd? How do we have that? I just don't understand. That's why, like, you know, we were supposed to record this podcast yesterday and Sam hit me up like, "Hey, some stuff's going on. Maybe we can move tomorrow." And I was like, actually, that's perfect because I am emotionally, like, mentally drained and fucked. It's just too much. And on top of this, I've been reading this book called Between the World and Me. And it's a black father's letter to his son about being black in America.
New book? You finished the first one? The family trilogy, the guy who was the godfather?
Yeah, I did finish it. It was nice. So good. Oh my God. The ending was, it was so Puzo. I was like, whoa, like so much happens. Like you'll read so many details for like 50 pages and it's so engrossing. And you're like, yeah. But then most of the action happens in 3 pages and you're like, what? What?
That's so Puzo. That's so Puzo.
Yeah, so I finished that one. And yeah, so now I'm on Between the World and Me. My sister recommended it to me. And I was reading it. I was like, maybe like 15 pages into this book. And I sent a text to my sister saying, "Hey, I finally started reading Between the World and Me, ... How much did you cry while reading this?" You know, because I'm just, you know, with my nephew and everything, and my brother-in-law. She wrote back, LOL, and then all caps, "A lot." Because there's just some really hard truths that are just really real. And I think it should be recommended reading for everyone in America. It's just, he just has a way with words that embodies things so perfectly. Like, it's like biting into a perfectly ripe fruit, you know, it's just right, you know? And
That is a great way to describe anything you want somebody to get on, because now I want to read the book.
Please, I will send it to you, or I'll buy you a digital copy or something, because it's so good and just eye-opening, and just, I don't know, it just made me think a lot of things. So I was already feeling a lot of stuff. And in the book, he even talks about Eric Garner. So to have literally just read that and then to go on social media and to see the knee and the neck George Lloyd, it's a lot to take in and handle, and then have to also be like, all right, I have to, like, you know, feed myself and shower myself, right, and try to be productive in the world, and then also remember that I could just be returning an ID and none of that can matter. So sometimes it's like the weight of that feels like a fucking knee in your neck. So I understand why, like, I can feel the exhaustion and the rage all the way in California. I can only imagine what it's like there.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Probably like visceral and percolating throughout.
It's just exhaust. Cause it just, it's again, and just like Christian Cooper, it doesn't matter that he went to Harvard or he's so, you know, he has all these accolades in Marvel and is a groundbreaker, and just in so many ways that you've been told that you've beat the stereotypes, or you beat the system, or you beat the things that should put you in danger. Like, that it just doesn't matter. It's just like the color of your skin. Talking about safe spaces, I joined this group that we talk about, watch and talk about Insecure this last week, the TV show.
I need to get up on the latest season.
It's been good. But there's one episode where this girl has kind of like a moment where she's denied something, and she knows it's based off of her race, and then she has to debate it with people who are trying to tell her, like, you're pulling the race card and all these things. And one of the things I talked about with the group was saying how one of the hardest parts about those types of moments, when you're at a luxury resort, when you're like a high profile lawyer, you've done all these things, you have all the things that people say they want.
So it's Molly. How is Molly?
Yeah. You get reduced to the color of your skin in a moment. You get reminded so quick that that's sometimes all that people see. And that is a crushing that is so hard to even personify, because there's nothing you can do to change that.
Yeah.
But so that's why I think, again, why Amy Cooper is so dangerous, because of things like this. So because somebody, you know, just doing their job, hey, first of all, I don't even know why you would call the police if you got a counterfeit $20 bill. That seems so...
Yeah, that is wild.
That seems so, like, pointless to me. Like, that's like people who, like, chase, like, if you worked at, you know, The Gap and someone's stealing a t-shirt, like, I would never run after them. I'd be like, okay,
yeah,
there goes $5 from the $1 billion company. I
would just say, like, hey, this is not a 20 that works right now, so here you go. You gotta either buy something or get out. I don't know.
I remember when I worked at this one retail spot, we had we were talking about what would happen if somebody was, like, robbing the store or wanted to get into the safe. I'd be like, the code is 6492.
Oh, yeah. 100%. App 100%.
Do you need help for me to open it for you? The lock gets kind of sticks a little bit there. Let me just do that for you. I wouldn't be looking them in the eyes. I'd be like, I have no distinguishable marks of you at all. I could not tell anyone what you look like.
Do you want some water? Can I get you some water or mint, maybe?
We had a code. There was, like, some security. It was like, I worked in a, like, clothing store in a like a shopping center kind of thing. Like, we had a code that if something was happening that it was kind of suspicious, you could call the hotline. Security thing. Yeah. And you'd be like, hey, this is Tiana from whatever store I worked at the time. And
doesn't want to put that store on blast. Okay.
Yeah. There are some crazy people there. If you're listening and you know. Anyways, Tiana from the undisclosed location. And just want you to know your package is ready. And then I remember we had to do, like, a store training video, and that was one of the things. And I got to be the actress in the moment to do that. And I still literally remember looking to the camera being like, your package is ready. And, like, winking.
Like, you know, Jim from The Office, just looking right at the camera.
You know, I never miss an opportunity. Like, oh, you need someone to portray this world. I guess it could be me.
You're a low-key ham.
I'm a high-key ham, bitch.
Well, the thing is, I was thinking about that, like, low-key ham isn't really, but, like, you ham it up, but you're not, like, meh. It's not, the 1930 version of ham.
I'm a natural ham. Like, yeah, I don't have to ham it up.
You're a natural ham.
I've been here roasting ready. Like, this is my, I've been waiting for this moment.
I think what sucks the most about, I mean, not, that's not true, but something that would depressed me even more, like on a more meta scale, mm-hmm. was before these came to light or before I got wind of them, I wanted to talk about Ahmaud Arbery, just to bring him up again, because I've more things have developed in that case that I've been listening to. And I didn't even think we were going to have to talk about, I mean, now there's two more cases that, you know, are pretty much the highlight of our episode today. And it sucks.
It sucks. Yeah. That's so hard because it's like, you know, how do you keep putting these things on your shoulders and, you know, keeping on track of like what's happening with like the last thing that seemed to be the most important thing happening.
And so also we can get to this, we'll get to this negligence that just goes unpunished when I want to talk about Amy Klobuchar in a bit. But the officer that murdered Mr. Floyd, he had shot people before and was charged of misconduct and negligence, and he got away with so many things. I'll bring up later because Amy Klobuchar kind of connects to him in this episode. Mm. But so for Ahmaud Arbery,
isn't that wild that you could have certain things like that and you're not like removed from your job?
Yeah.
But like if a Karen comes in and is like, they didn't put enough whipped cream on my drink, you can get fired. Okay. Makes sense.
We talked about it prior, you know, we mentioned it, but then since that episode of the footage has been released of him walking in the construction site. And I was watching that thinking, I do that in my neighborhood all the damn time.
And I saw another interview, I don't know if it was on Chris Cuomo, but something from his family was talking about how he has people in his family who are either like electricians or in a construction, and he was about to go into like apprenticeship for like being an electrician. And they talked about one of the reasons he probably walked into that building. And if you watch the video and the way he's looking at certain things, is that he's looking at, oh, okay, when you're building a building and you're putting this stuff in there, this is where like that would go. And like, so that's the kind of stuff I'm gonna be learning how to do. And, you know, and that's where.
Fascinated. Yeah, just fascinated with that. That makes complete sense. Also, people are just nosy bitches in general. I don't, it doesn't even matter. There's a house being built like a couple blocks away and I try to get in there. What's going on? I'm looking through windows. I just want to see what it looks like. So,
And the same people that say they don't have to wear a mask to Costco that say that because he walked into an abandoned building house and looked at it, that he deserves to die.
Under construction, no walls.
He's like, you're trying to tell me because he walked into an abandoned house. He does. Yeah. Not even a house. You're right. A building of a house, a process of a house. Again, that he deserved to die. He deserved to die. That's what I was saying. So, okay. So if I see you in my, built a fort in front of my house and you looked at it, I could shoot you in the face and you would deserve it.
Right. No. So that police department has come under scrutiny in the past. Fucking surprise.
Alex, I'll take $500 for what's not surprising.
In 2018, the police department lost its certification with the state because it did not meet basic policing standards.
What? You don't even meet the basics. What? They're like, yeah, bro, you're even too racist for us. Like,
and also a report. Obviously representation doesn't erase racism. We understand this, but in places of power and in departments, it helps. Representation is it's so important. Maybe this wouldn't have happened. By the International Association of Police Chiefs noted that this particular precinct, 12% of the police force was African American, even though African Americans make up 26% of the county's population. So underrepresented.
Right.
If so, I guess Tian's like, yeah, I'm not fucking surprised. And then all of the judges in that county are older white men. When you want, do you want to take things that don't surprise you for a thousand, Tiana?
No, it's like double doesn't. Jeopardy. Boo, boo. I don't watch Jeopardy that much. I think those are.
Yeah,
like
that was wrong. The siren sound was wrong, but double Jeopardy, you got that's it. Right.
Doesn't it make like it. A thing? Does it do like
it does,
a special
it does,
noise?
It does. It does make a sound. It's like, it's.
Dude. Oh, wait, that's what you're thinking.
No, that's right? Final. Like, wait, maybe actually the sound you made was right.
Do. Yeah, I think boo, boo, boo. It's like.
Yeah, I watch Jeopardy a lot. I just haven't in a minute because when Alex Trebek was diagnosed with cancer, I got too upset to watch. But now I think he's fine, so I'll be back watching. And then so I went to the fucking Glynn County website, their Justice Department, and I copied and pasted every goddamn name into Google image search of the judges, and they're all white and old.
That's scary.
So, I mean, and I was listening to a segment on NPR, a spokesperson for, I don't know if it was an NAACP or perhaps just an activist in the area. Mm-hmm. He was saying, you know, like, it's everybody's fault. Like, he's saying, it's like, we know about this. It doesn't happen, but we're not doing anything about it.
Right.
And now we know. Now things like this come to light. So we're going to try to have black judges run for election. Let's get this police force more diverse, or maybe, I don't know, no basic policing standards. Fuck.
I mean, I need to do more research about it, but I saw something about what AOC posted, and so it prompted me to look at some other articles about how the police really vote in like a voter like grouping block. So a lot of like politicians sometimes feel apprehensive to push certain things against them because they're afraid of losing that vote. And if they would lose that vote, then they wouldn't have a chance of like winning, which is like, that's the part that's like so wild. I mean, again, I think it's infallible. I don't think there's no way to go around it, but just the aspect of voting, a lot has to do about trying to get the majority, like duh, but how a lot of it has to do with pacifying or, you know, working for a certain majority to secure a swing or a vote.
And I would say it's about compromise. It's about compromise a little bit, but when you think about historically, like who has those voting powers, mm-hmm. it all comes down to like race and ownership of power.
It's like the Greenwich, Connecticut people we talked about last time. Like,
yeah.
So if the police group has like a voter block, it, like, again, this seems so unfair that then they also get.
Well, what does a voter block mean? Like
I guess they have like unions and majority of the people in that union agree to vote. Just like, you know, sometimes I'll get suggestions from you because I trust you and I'll just like vote for those things. But if like you were like a crazy evil bitch, you could just be like, oh yeah, I guess you just vote for this shit. I'd be like, okay, Sam, sounds good. You know,
it would be wild if I've just been sabotaging you this whole time.
Dude, that'd be so fucking wild. I'd be so disappointed.
You would have to stop talking to me. I'd be a psycho. You should commit me.
Oh my God. I would literally stop talking to you. My aunt and I have a pact that if she ever turns and starts doing some crazy racist shit, my white aunt, that I will, you know, help take care of her.
You'll put her out?
Send her to the farm, you know.
Okay, well, Puzo in there.
I mean, Scorpio shit. Okay, we don't play no games. Which is funny because she's like, you're the only one I could trust. I was like, I know I am.
That's some codependent stuff, but I love it.
I always joke with her. I was like, uh-oh, is it getting time? We'll disagree about something and I'll just be joking. Uh-oh, let me see what...
I got a brochure for some homes. But I think to that point, to vote, like, once again, we need lawmakers and people in position of power to help stop this systematic abuse of it. And that's why I want to get to the election, maybe talk about Joe Biden's VP candidates who are on the list.
Did you see anything about Joe Biden going on the Breakfast Club and saying if you don't vote for him, you're not black?
I did, and I want to talk about that because I watched it. Did you watch the interview?
I watched some of it, and then I was reading some articles about it, and I have like mixed feelings. I think like, again, I think Trump gets so many allowances for being so brash about things, and but then at the same time, there's the one of the things that frustrates me about Joe is that I feel like it's like the equivalent to like coming too fast. Like sometimes he's just like, bah! You know, it's like, bro.
Yeah.
Bro, like, I get what you're trying to say, but like, Joe, we live in 2020. Have we not talked about sound bites? You know, Joe!
It's the sound bite of it all because, okay, at face
you can't
value,
say you're not black if you don't vote for me, Joe. You're not getting put in tonight because we talked about this, Joe.
And Joe's whole thing is like, he really, I mean, as much as a white man can, he really thinks he earned black voters, right. Which he's done like more so than Trump 100%, more so than actually many politicians 100%.
Right.
But he can't be saying,
Joe. And then like the fucking Trump marketing machine is like,
Sean Hannity was talking about how he's concerned about the racial rhetoric from Biden.
Come on, y'all. And
the thing too is, even in the scheme of the interview was actually a very great interview. Charlamagne pressed him on some stuff. Joe came back with like facts about the crime bill, like specific sections of it. It was really like, I say impressive only because if you put him against Trump can't remember what he had for breakfast yesterday.
And so, Trump wants to sue Twitter. So like, pandemic, God. But like, let's break down Twitter. Anyway, continue.
Oh yeah. And so even in the context of the interview, he said at the end as a joke, kind of, we had this whole discussion. But once again, we take it just the clip at the end, just that one sentence.
It's like Kamala being on the Breakfast Club being like, oh yeah, I smoked weed when I listened to Tupac and Dr. Dre. I'm cool, kids.
I will say Biden came off much more sincere.
But still, it's like the same kind of thing. It's like, yo, just stay in your lane. Like, just be you. You don't have to come on these shows and try to be like hip with the kids, you know?
Right. And the thing too is that was like his only hip with the kids moment.
Yeah,
I mean Kamala, that was really brutal, but him, he was just kind of wrapping it up. It sounds though, that one clip, obviously, it sounds like you're taking black voters for granted, who are the backbone of this party,
right?
But once we talk about, like, you know, how, like, even though, like, intent, you know, sometimes I'm talking about the way you want. And he was really just, he was joking. He was, like, trying to laugh hard, like, okay. And even Charlamagne was like, no, it's about, I mean, it's just, it was kind of taken out of context just a little bit. But because if you put it in the base of the whole interview, it was a good interview. He did a great job. Like,
See, and that's the part that sucks. It's like, there's so many great things about that, but nobody's seen the fucking viral clips of that, because you had to say if, like, at the end of the day, regardless if the statement's true or not, you can't be the face out there that's defining what it means to be black. And so by just doing that as an old white man, I'm sorry, like, it just...
Ooh, you just hurt Joe. You just kicked him in the rib a little bit. Oh.
It's like, I'm sorry, bro. It's like, sometimes it's frustrating. It's like, if you don't have the wherewithal to realize that... And I understand, and again, we live in such a quick, you know, instantaneous, like, lifestyle of media now, that I understand that sometimes things just happen that you don't really mean. I get that. But it's just like, oh, come on, like, you had to know as soon as you said that, like, then, I mean, again, but maybe then also the president who's talking about grabbing people by pussies, and people are trying to make logic out of that. So like, that's where I go back and forth about, I don't know.
That's just like Joe's style. You know, he forgets about the flubs and he just gets what he's caught. Maybe,
I don't know, Joe. You just straight up said that, bro.
I know.
Like, I get it. Like, I don't hold it against you, but I think more than anything, it just shows that you have to, again, no, just like we talked about before, like, I think, and this is where I sympathize with people who are really, like, Bernie supporters. Like, I don't think that Joe just has our vote because he's, you know, the assumed nominee. And I do believe that he has to continue to like show and bring all of us over for why he's now our nominee. But I don't know. It's like, bro, come on. Like,
well, as Joe, I mean, look, as Joe was saying, like with the Bernie supporter thing, that's too, they love sharing this shit too. And right. It's, you know what, get your protest vote out of my fucking face. All right. If you don't vote for Biden, you're voting for Trump. You voted for Trump. Get over it. Yeah. Okay. So
it's just the way things work.
We're not here for your protest votes. We're not here for your whiny bitch complaints. Okay.
Well, it's just like, just to change the game, you have to finish the first one, right? Like if you're playing Monopoly and somebody has like, all you have is, I can't remember all the names, but you only have the cheapest ones or no property. And everybody owns everything on the board. Yeah. Like
yellow, orange, and brown are the cheapest.
You're probably not going to win this game. But you might convince them because they think they won the last game to play again. And now you've learned all the tricks and tools and ways to play it. That guess who's got Park Place now, bitch? Okay. You know, so it's like you can't change the game. Sometimes you can change the game in the middle of the game. But I don't think we're in the middle of the game right now. We're not in the middle anymore. Like it was prior to the primaries, I'd be like, get all the delegates you can get, bitch.
Yeah.
Now I'm just like... okay.
Right.
All right. You know, it's like the militias that go out. So you got some rifles, but yeah. You know the army has bombs, right? Like I don't think this is how we're gonna win it.
I was kind of thinking about this in my notes too. Or like when I was, you know, just like coming up with bullet points when I want to talk about this app that
right.
Like Joe Biden makes gaffes, but if you look like at his record, he really has done, and he won the primary because of black voters. And he knows that.
Right.
So even though he makes these flubs, like he's the best champion for them presidentially, like as a nominee mm-hmm. right now, because he's the one we got. And a lot of people, not a lot, but some friends of mine who are really like Bernie say like, well, Bernie doesn't make it about race. He makes it about all people, like working class people. And it's like, you know what? When one race is reaping the benefits of institutions, whether it be criminal, whether it be education, private sector jobs, whatever it is, like maybe it's smart to have a plan for people who aren't getting that leg up.
Right.
So maybe that's a smart move that he has an African-American manifesto on his website. Because he's trying to figure out plans.
And he lives in a reality, right? So like, yeah. I hate when people say like, I don't make it about race. I don't see color. Why is it always going to be about race? It's like... I don't know, bitch, because you have two eyes and see my dark ass skin. Like, because, duh. What do you mean you don't see race? Like, what do you mean? Just say, I make a conscious effort not to allow my thoughts and actions to be based off the color of someone's skin. Oh, okay. Yeah, me too. That makes sense.
I remember one of my friends made, like when we were younger, made that like stupid joke. I was like, oh, you look like my friend, whatever. And they go, it's because I'm black. Yeah, you're black. You look like the person I'm talking about. Yeah, it's because you're black.
And what's funny is like when people, like there's certain things where...
I mean, it was a joke obviously on their part, but it's just that joke is so stupid to begin with.
Yeah, well, it seems like when people sometimes like don't give certain identifiers about someone, it's like, oh yeah, we were, you know, we were with Katie. She was wearing that like green shirt the other day. I don't remember the green shirt. Yeah, she had the yellow pants with the green shirt, and she laughed at the joke you said. I'm not sure. She had the curly hair, long eyelashes. Oh, like why can't you just say like, you know, she was the black girl. If she was the only black girl there in your group with five friends, I don't think that's like a negative identifier.
But no, if you're telling just an identifier.
Yeah, but if you're telling a story like, yeah, so that like there's certain times when you describe the race of people in a story, it's like their race had nothing to do with the story.
Right.
You know, like that's a boomer Karen type of move. Like, I'm trying to think of one. Like when you just talk about, like, yeah, sometimes at the grocery store and this Asian man walked up to me and said hi.
Right. It's like for Amy Cooper, right? If Amy Cooper, if a white man was assaulting her, like she wouldn't say, I'm going to call the cops and say a white man is threatening me.
Right. She might say, I might say a man's threatening me.
She might say a man, but she's not going to say a white man until, unless like the cop, if she's really in hysterics and the 911 operator asks if you to describe him, the race, she might then say white. But I don't see a world where she, if Christian Cooper was white, she would say, I'm calling the police and letting them know a white man is threatening me.
Exactly. She didn't say like, because I'm going to call the police and say an African-American man at 6'4 height with glasses with a bag around his shoulders and a blue shirt is harassing me. You know, like
a very attractive, possibly homosexual man who's written for Marvel.
I think he went to Harvard. I'm not sure. I'm sorry. I can't hear you. My dog is choking, but I'm concerned for my safety. I'm getting closer to him, man. Why are you getting closer? Because I'm concerned for my safety.
Yeah. No, ma'am. If you're concerned for yourself, you got to step away from him. You don't go close.
Wait, you know what? I'm going to investigate. Citizen's arrest.
I need a good look at him. Oh, I mean, not that this is a fucking surprise, but there was a prosecutor on NPR talking about like citizen's arrest laws and surprise, surprise, it like is racist and outdated. I knew this, but we haven't discussed this. And I just want to bring this up. Like, you can't just go around being the aggressor and then arresting somebody. they had guns saying, we're going to make a citizen's arrest on you. No.
And I'm sorry. I mean, maybe you don't know, but as a small child of color in America, you know, learning about history and watching movies about them, one of my biggest fears is white guys in hats in a pickup truck and guns are going to chase me down. Literally have had nightmares about it. So like, I cannot imagine if that literally happened that I would stop and be like, oh, hey, yeah, what's up, bro? Like, what do you want to talk about? Citizen's arrest. You're just going to peacefully like take me in and not assault me in any kind of way. Yeah, let me just stop. My shoe's just untied. Do you mind if I just tie that real quick? That's
cool. Also, even if you're like, he was just jogging. What? Obviously this is not funny, but it's just so ridiculous. It's just so ridiculous. You can't help but just.
But again, it could have been like, and all I can think again, it could have been as simple as me returning an ID in that neighborhood. Could have just found, where'd you get that ID, girl? You know, like, sorry to give them that like crazy, like Southern stereotypical draw, but that's what's in my nightmares, y'all. Okay. So it's one of those things that like, I can't like make light about it. I just be crying constantly because it's just too much. It's just too real. It's just too, the reminder is constant. You know, I can't not go on my, even not even seeing the knee on the neck, just seeing the pictures of George just with his family and smiling and just being himself feels triggering because it's just a reminder of how easy you could just become a hashtag. And it's just, that's the weight I think is
no one wants that legacy. Like, you know what I mean? Even if he is a hashtag for people who are respecting his life and wanting, it's just, everything is horrible.
Yeah, it's just fucked.
So in connection with that, with George Floyd, I want to talk about some of on the short list of Biden's VP noms. And I want to just say this loud and clear. I want Elizabeth Warren to be president, but she's not going to be vice president because she's a 72-year-old white lady. So get out of here with these articles, these op-eds, why she would be a great VP pick.
Yeah.
It's like
I've been seeing, it's interesting, sorry that you say that, because I feel like more recently I've been seeing more pop up on my newsfeed about like, why she'd be the perfect candidate. And I was like, but didn't she fucking get on Maddow and literally say like, I didn't run to be vice president. So she fucking takes, even if he offered it to her and she took it, I'd be like, oh no. Like, that's not helping us, bitch. You know, like,
yeah, her senator seat in Congress. Keep her in Congress. So also he hasn't come out and said it, but it's alluded. And then, well, people are hoping for this anyway, that he would serve a great 4 years and step down and let his incumbent run. So Elizabeth Warren's going to be 76. So I'm just, look, age is a factor. We keep talking about, everybody was making jokes about how two old white guys were the left for the Democratic nominee. It's not, I'm, As once again,
I Sprite 76.
She's Sprite. She's definitely Sprite. But as I've said, I'm not ageist. I just think the president should be younger because of just physical stresses and mental stresses on the job. Okay.
That's fair.
I probably am. I'm trying to think of, I know some 72 year olds would be pissed at me if I said that.
Yeah.
So, and then Klobuchar, like, no, she's too bland.
I was like, just get a fucking vanilla ice cream cone, you bro.
Just get Mike Pence in a wig. No, just kidding. They're very different politically, but still, that's the feeling.
That just feels like such a safe bet.
Yeah. And, this is why she needs to be dropped from that list. Before she became a senator, she was in charge of prosecution in Minneapolis. Mm. And the officer, Derek Chauvin. Really? The murderer's prefix to his last name is from chauvinist? Like Derek Chauvin, he had at least 10 conduct complaints during his 19-year tenure before he was fired. In particular, he was involved in the shooting death of a man who had stabbed other people before attacking the police, as well as some undisclosed complaints. Klobuchar did not prosecute Chauvin for the first death, and he was later placed on leave when he and other officers shot and wounded a Native American man in 2011. So first man was stabbing people. So I don't know what the protocol is. You know, he shot him.
Right.
But still, like, her not prosecuting that offense or even having looked into it,
especially right now,
let the domino effects. I mean, obviously, I'm not blaming. There's no blame on her, but dominoes were enacted that led to this man improperly putting his knee on George Floyd's neck and murdering him.
Right.
So. As we always talk about on this podcast, and as we talk about Joe, like clips, media, things matter. And I mean, I'm not a prosecutor. So, and this guy was going around just stabbing people. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know.
Deadly, yeah, but at the end of the day, it's weapon. Like, yeah, I don't know. I guess it depends if you're stopping the act of stabbing. So it was danger in that moment. There's so much that kind of goes.
Yeah.
Into consideration, but like it's also one of those things that I can just imagine, you know, the West Wing version of Joe and Klobuchar talking about running together. It's like, oh wait, so there was another police murder in the state, and it was a cop that you had not prosecuted all these other times. Yeah, Amy, I don't know how the stars align this way, but I don't think it's gonna be you. We're gonna have to ask you to go. Like, it just.
Yeah,
you can't take, like, wrong. We got enough skeletons in this closet. So.
Right.
Yeah. Short list just got a little shorter. That's what I'm trying to say, bitch.
Yeah.
That's
not gonna look good. He also, there's a thing going around and it has references. Some of them I know are true. So obviously the restraint technique used by this officer was not part of department training. He's also being represented by Tom Kelly, the same attorney who got the officer who killed Philando Castile acquitted. He was put on
the guy
leave
who
in
said
20-
he fucking smelled cannabis. So that's one of the reasons why he feared for his life when Philando Castile reached for his ID that he asked for. Sorry, just.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Totally. Yeah. And then. He was one of the officers who murdered Wayne Reyes, a Latino man with 16 bullets forced into him. So this guy has, he's got a trail.
Yeah.
Amy Klobuchar didn't prosecute him during a crime and shit took turns. So she's got to be off that list. Got me off the list. You got one. You got one.
Bye, Amy.
Bye.
Oh, my God. Two Amys that gots to go this episode.
Oh, my God. Is Amy the new Karen? No, Karen. Amy's everywhere. Like, no, 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 no. And Karen's everywhere. Like, yes, yes. Please be the new Amy. You know, I introduced some of my friends to Karen's Gone Wild on Instagram. It's my new favorite.
I think it got deleted or something. So I tried to look at it the other day and it wasn't there. That shit is funny and also really triggering for me.
You know what's even more triggering for me is Kevin's Gone Wild.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's like war. It's all they, so bad. That's worse. Because
like, how do like they not see and these things happening and continue to Karen and Kevin it up? Like, that's the part I don't get. Like,
I agree.
Like, but have you not heard of social media? It's like fucking Yolanda, 90 Day Fiance. It's like,
I'm not familiar.
I'm not familiar with the image back search or whatever it's called.
Oh my God. Wow. If that Instagram page got taken down, I'm going to be very upset. Also, so we have Kamala Harris, who I wouldn't be mad at. But the three contenders that I think are the best, Joe Biden's people, I hope you're listening to this, because so my three favorites on his list are Stacey Abrams, as she's a fan. We're a fan of her at the pod. She's working the good fight for voting rights.
Did you see something? Trump reposted a tweet or something, or retweeted a tweet about her talking about how she, when she's on the campaign trail, she shook every hand, kissed every baby, and hit up every buffet. Like trying to like call her fat. Our president retweeted something about
that. Okay, our obese. Where's Nancy Pelosi when you need her?
But yeah, Stacey Abrams, I think that would be a good choice.
So Stacey Abrams ran for governor in Georgia, and she became the first Black woman in the U.S. to win a gubernatorial nomination for either political party.
What other like leadership roles has she had in politics?
I know that she's on, I think she's worked for like the state politics, and she runs a voting right. Let's look it up.
Yeah, I like the...
I like her.
I like Stacey Abrams. I just don't know if she...
Oh yeah, she's a lawyer. You think she's too young or something?
No, too young. I just don't know if she possesses the leadership. And I'm also speaking off of like... Speaking off a limited amount of information, so I'm not making like a full opinion, but I feel like she lacks the leadership experience for the role of vice president, even though
she was in the House of Reps for 10 years too.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
she has more quote unquote experience. Well, no, because Obama was a senator.
Okay, that I didn't know about the House of Reps, so that changes.
Yeah. But there is that like I think because she's like young, there's that. I mean, obviously, if you're young, you're going to have less wisdom, life knowledge points than somebody who's older. She has a pretty impressive resume.
And I feel like we're starting to see like younger world leaders.
Yeah.
Just in general. Like, look at
New Zealand Bay.
I love her. She's like fucking doing an interview and there's like an earthquake. She's like, oh, got quite of a big shake here. Well, hold on. Okay, I think it's done.
And then she just goes right back to it. Yeah. If there was an earthquake during a Trump speech,
Trump would like push Ivanka out the way, and like he would only try to save himself. They're like, "Are you sure you want to continue?" She's like, "Yeah." You know, like my aunt we're talking about, she like made things so calm. She's like, "Yeah, I have no lights hanging over me. This is a pretty, sound structural building. I'm fine. There's no need to panic or worry. Let's continue."
That's the kind of leader we all need.
Lead me, please.
And then we have Susan Rice, who she served as U.S. National Security Advisor to Barack Obama from 2013 to 2017, and Ambassador to the United Nations from 2009 to 2013. And the U.S. Senate confirmed her as an ambassador by unanimous consent.
Oh, wow. Well, that's pretty good then.
Yeah. She also worked on the Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs during President Clinton and I think George Bush's. So, I mean, she's dope. She's a badass. I like that pick for her, for him. I also looked up Trump's pick for the Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs, and guess what, guys? It's the first white guy in that position since 2005.
Alex, are you there?
Alex.
I made it to the final round.
And then somebody that I didn't know about, but I just read an article and she seemed like a great choice, is Keisha Lance Bottoms, who's an Atlanta mayor. And I just feel like if you had the mayor of Atlanta as your VP, like you would probably win Georgia, yeah. I would assume.
Definitely help. Because I've heard good things about her with like going against, it's Kemp, right? It's the governor.
Yeah, that she
Georgia, I think, about some of the reopening, and she's like, no, you'll stay your asses at home. Like,
yeah,
anytime yet.
But she says like they do have a working relationship. So she like Kamala and Susan Rice, like knows how to play that game.
Yeah.
You know, and hold her position of power, which is amazing. She's also a former judge, which I love. Mm-hmm. And she served in each branch of government.
Oh, that's cool.
And also, her executive tenure overlapping with a massive cyber attack on city government's technology infrastructure and now the COVID-19 pandemic. So she's handled some crazy shit for her city. She was also a Trump surrogate in Iowa when he was losing terribly, and she was in the good fight. And really, so I think that's an excellent choice. I think because I was talking to, I think, Verdiana, who's been on the pod before, how I see from a standpoint how Klobuchar could work because she's in a swing area,
right.
but nothing indicates that her being VP would energize that.
And that's what we need.
We need that.
We need the sprinkles.
We need that sprinkle.
Okay. We don't need vanilla soft serve. You know, like we need... You know?
Sprinkles. We need a VP who's the mayor of a city with the most goddamn strip clubs. We need to.
Because we already got the soft serve. Biden, you are the soft serve, bro. That's you. Like, watch sprinkles.
Yeah.
Dip this shit in some chocolate, bro. Let us see like what's going on here. I like those. But just imagine being approached by like the Biden party to be like, hey, we're looking at you to maybe be like the vice president nominee, and like what that means for you and your family to make that decision to say like, I want to do that. What do you really open your life kind of up to, and like how that changes things? Like, it's just such a, just, you know, just kind of imagine those conversations or making those decisions. Cause I'm sure there's people who maybe have the opportunity who just decide like, this isn't right for me. Right. And some of the sacrifices you have to take. And I think that's some of the things that for me is disappointing with this administration, because I think there's so many roles that are no longer or aren't being taken as seriously or given like the respect or foresight, like what it means to be in those roles. So for like, even like Trump, like the way he can't, it feels like he gets so petty about people questioning the certain things that he does or the type of power, absolute power he thinks he has. It's like, that's not what this role is. So like when you signed up to take it, you should really take it in consideration, like all that comes with it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just, I don't know. I can't say if I had the opportunity, like not like based off the life I've lived, but if I was one of these nominees, because nobody would be coming and asking me to be vice president. But if I was one of these nominees, I can imagine.
You know what? You never know. Maybe they love this podcast.
I mean, if Trump could be president, you never know. Honestly, anything's possible. But I just can imagine like the pause I would take. And I wouldn't respect somebody unless they did take a pause and just really thought about, okay, what does this mean? Like, what am I sacrificing for the greater good? And I think that's so important about leadership, because we have to understand that. And I think when you take these roles, you have to understand there's a lot you're going to have to sacrifice for the greater good, good of the people and the majority of the people. And I think a lot of that has been lost. And I think that's why there's a lot of distrust with a lot of people in political power.
Yeah. That makes sense. I don't know. So you'll get out and vote. Oh, I'm doing Adopt a State. The Pod Save America guys are doing like live in a solidly blue state, you should do some stuff to help these red states get fixed.
Good idea.
You go to the website, I think it's like savethevote.com, and then you just sign up. And I'm adopting Florida because...
Oh, that makes sense.
Yep, it does.
Go visit your mom and infiltrate.
Yep.
Hey, mom, just wanted to come see you real quick. Well, don't worry about these leaflets that are in my backpack.
Have you thought about your local representative elections coming up?
You just like every like to go place being like styrofoam, interesting.
You know, I've said that sentence many a time.
I didn't pull that joke out of nowhere.
I don't think I have a crazy old kook or anything in the week.
I mean, I think like it's like the collective people denying the fact that there's some like racist ass shit happening.
Yeah, you guys are all the crazy old kooks of the week, you assholes.
It's the crazy old kook of the week. Why you gotta be so fucking crazy?
Fucking idiots. Fuck you.
Fucking like, idiot. Fuck you guys.
Somebody that was on the pod before posted something about like, it was like, you know, this is why Kaepernick kneeled, and it was like a photo of Kaepernick kneeling versus like the officer on George's neck. And somebody, and I knew because the person I knew from where he comes from, I was like, I know some people gonna be telling something about this. And somebody mentioned something like, well, we don't know the intention of that officer. That officer would have done that if he was black or if he was white, and like all these fucking things. And I was like, you're the crazy old cook of the week. People that have to like, why you gotta come into the comments and like make all these things? Well, I don't, like one of the mayors, somebody in the state that it happened, one of the mayors, can't remember which city or what, said something about like, well, what did he say? He's like, well, if you could say I can't breathe, he could obviously breathe. I don't see anything like inappropriate that happened in that.
Oh, movie. No.
We're the crazy old kooks of the week. So like all the people that just want to deny reality, that don't want to live in factual based things. Hi, here's a mirror. You're the crazy old kook of the week. And eternity, actually.
Good job, bozos.
You know what? It does feel really good though to like get these emotions out, because one of my friends was asking me today, like, what are you going to do to like for you today? And I was like, well, you know, recording the podcast, and it will be nice to be able to have like to just, you know, articulate some emotions and to do something that feels like, even if it's a small change, can make a difference, and to be vulnerable and put your truth out there, and just like, you know, like I said, create a virtual safe space. So I thank you, Sam, for, you know, helping me create this space. And I thank anyone that's listening for being here and allowing me this space to do that. Because if not, I would just, you know, get crazy.
Yeah, I thank you as well. I feel the same.
Oh my God, I wish I could hug you. Virtual hugs.
I'm going to eat. I'm high now. I have 2 hours of work. And even though I broke out, I'm breaking out everywhere. I just ordered 2 pieces of cake.
I'm going to make like a mini Thanksgiving dinner. I got this like frozen turkey breast that you can roast. I was going to make it the other night, but I read the instructions and saw it took 3 hours. I was like, well, it's 8 p.m., so that's probably a bad idea.
And that almost makes me not want to eat the cake, because I'd rather, maybe I'll make a savory.
I love a savory. All right, well, guys, I don't know if you know this now, but this is our season finale for season 2.
Yeah.
You know? I'm really thankful and really proud, and this is really a special space to have created with you, and I'm really stoked that we've remained committed to it.
Yeah.
And that we've gotten here, and I'm really excited. You know, we're going to take like a 2-month break, everyone, but don't worry, you can still follow us at @highly_political. We're going to stay, be posting and, you know, sharing things with you
guys.
We're
going to stay relevant on your radar. Okay.
Yeah, we'll still be here, but in, you know, at the end of August, September, look out for us again. Get ready for election season. We're going to come back hot and ready.
Ready. With more Instagram followers, maybe more listens. You know what? Like, subscribe, and tell a friend about us. And tell a friend about us who doesn't know about us.
A couple more reviews, y'all. I mean, yeah, it's up to you. It's not like I'm sheltering in place and checking multiple times a day to see if anything's changed and trying to, like, you know, find some joy in the world. But anyway, thank you for being here, and you know, stay vigilant. Don't You know, stay watching these fools, okay?
Yeah, stay watching these fools.
These crazy old kooks are out here, and we got our eyes on them, y'all.
All right, bye, T.
All right, bye, guys.
Bye.